The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained here in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today is the 19th of December, 2017. Now, as we always do, stand up, take a deep breath through your nose, out through your mouth, and repeat, I am a champion, I am a winner. Now, why do we do this? And we've been doing this now for almost 2 months. Because I've talked to you, and we've had Steve Cotter on here, and we've done a number of shows talking about building yourself from the inside out, not from the outside in. A big thing I've been working on the last 2 weeks is the word prosperity and the law of prosperity and how you bring prosperity into your life, whether it's economically, through your health, through your happiness. These are all the things I'm doing where I am rewiring my mind, and we are the only ones that can literally rewire ourselves. I can tell you this, even when times are hard, especially, the training lately I've been doing called Mashing Middies via with John McKean, it's been absolutely incredible. Are they the best lifts I've ever done? No. Have I had to drop them substantially? Yes, I have. And right there, that's hard for a lot of us because your ego. But I know now I'm on the right path, and I'm going to do some things with this stuff that I don't think I ever would have done with the dead stop / dead start stuff. And we're going to talk more and more about it. I keep having people say to me, how come you're not doing video, this and that? I'll tell you a couple reasons why I'm not. I'll be honest with you. These eventually are going to become products that are coming out. Not that I own the key to any of it, but I'm doing some pretty wild stuff. And we're going to bring this gentleman in shortly. Andrew Derniat is back with us, and I couldn't be happier. I have designed a brand new style power rack, and I'm waiting. And anybody that knows anybody that's a fabricator, especially in the local area, Albany, New York, that's upstate New York, you know how to get a hold of me through Facebook. That'd be the easiest way. Get a hold of me. It will be something, though, that there will be a legal contract or nothing can be released if they stay with me or not, because I've never seen anything out in the market like this. And this is specifically, not that you have to do them. This rack is totally set up to do any level of the power rack, but especially the middies. And it's going to be very interesting, especially the way the rods, the flooring, and something you would slide the rods through, which would make your lifts go bananas. So that's something big right there. So that's what I'm doing right now, and we keep talking about how we are rewiring, how we're overriding old habits that are no good, things people have said to you, this, that, and the other thing. You can do it, and I'm going to prove it all to you along with other people on here. So it's really exciting, interesting stuff, because let's face it, folks, Your mind is listening all the time. You can't hold every word back. I mean, things happen, but wouldn't you rather call yourself a winner and a champion than a loser and a nothing? Your mind's hearing that. It's feeding that too. Everything you do, all your success is mentally. I know you need the physical and the spiritual end. If it doesn't start in the mind and the heart, in my opinion, you're not going to get anywhere. But that's why we're here. We're going to help you out, and you can help yourself too. So that's what we're doing right now. Also, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Look at the new product, obviously, out there. And obviously, if you'd like to contribute to the company, it's all out there. Also, MotivationandMuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and just look at the number of shows I've done with Andrew. And we're going to be doing more in 18, obviously. And we're going to be doing a lot of things. And the biggest thing right now on the docket among many, we want to have a live call-in show, which it would be dynamite to have Andrew, obviously, part of that, and I know he will. Just think how we can get to people. and we're going after the young kids. We've had some on already. There's just a lot of things that I want to do, and I believe that this company will evolve to levels that you've never seen out there. And with people like Andrew and a few of the others on here, we're going to get to that mark. So stay tuned for all that next quarter. Also, too, sign up for our free newsletter. That's right on motivationandmuscle.com. That website looks dynamite. Thanks, Douglas Graham. There's more to do on that. But just the color scheme and the way it's working now, it is dynamite. And we're changing stuff all over, rewriting a lot of stuff, really sitting down and thinking things through, not being in such a rush, and that's the way it is. I'd rather take a little longer and do it right. Well, as I said, we have Andrew on here, and I'm going to give you some information on this gentleman right now. Number one, he's the owner of DerniatStrength.com. He's one of the top grip guys in the world and a world top-ranked all-around lifter. And also, too, I mean, obviously you've heard Andrew on here. The shows just explode when he's on here with me, and very concise, well-spoken, and that's where we're going with everything. Andrew, welcome back. It's always an honor to have you on, and I'm glad I got you before the end of the year, my friend.
No, appreciate it. It's always a great time, and love just getting the info out there and talking strength and seeing where it goes and helping people out.
Yeah, hell yeah. Well, we're going to run. Obviously, I want to catch up with Andrew. The last time we did a show, he was working on some pretty nasty overhead. And as everyone knows, I'm a big, big fan. I love overhead. And we know it is not, I don't think it's like it was many years ago, but Andrew can correct me on that if I'm not there. I think that's the test of strength when you can put something large over your head. And we're going to talk about winter training. And, you know, with he and I and everybody else, it could lead to anything. So, Andrew, first thing. Let's talk a little bit about overhead. How did that go? Or are you still doing it, or what's going on?
Still incorporating some of what I was doing to give people a little bit of a backstory on it all. I basically took a 12-week block of my training after completing Ironman Boulder and only did clean and press in my workouts.
Yep.
I had a day of barbell clean and press, had a day of kettlebell clean and press, had a day of dumbbell clean and press, had a day of sandbag clean and press, and then a fifth day was just sort of a freebie, anything goes. You know, I got into doing some clean and press with some telephone poles. I was doing kegs, stones. If I could find a way to get it overhead, I would. I've got an engine block here. I did some tires. But the general premise was I'm only going to pick things up off the ground and press them overhead. And by press, I mean, sometimes it was a strict press. Sometimes it was a jerk push press.
Yep.
However, but every motion that I did, it was a pickup into an overhead press. And did that for 12 weeks and really enjoyed it.
Yep.
Definitely developed, going from just strictly endurance training back into some strength training. Obviously the clean and press went up. My deadlift strength, for where it wasn't at its absolute peak, but started being conditioned well. And then just overall that just, I guess it's hard to qualify, but just that toughness. I was strong. There was a quote about Bill Kazmaier, and it kind of my feeling of my body when I was doing other things outside of the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I was strong in places where other people don't have places. And I've heard people refer to Bill Kazmaier in that way, where he's got muscles in places where other people don't even have places. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like that was just, I mean, there was no better sense of being strong than, yeah, I've got strength where you don't even have the ability to think like you have strength.
Yeah.
And the clean and press, I felt like really embodies just everything that we like to do in strength.
Mm-hmm.
And and it was simple. It simplified my training, even though I was using multiple modalities. It was, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to pick something up and I'm going to press it overhead. And then I'm going to eat. Some days I'd go with lighter weight and do more reps. That was typically the kettlebell days. And then yep. there were other days where I, with the barbell or the strongman motions, I'd really try to push the envelope as to, okay, how heavy can I get overhead? And then Friday was a fun day. It was more of that strongman medley circuit type training that I really had fun with and would throw some different things in with the clean and press. Sometimes I'd do a yoke carry, but at either end of the yoke walk area, I would have either a keg or an axle bar that I had to clean and press before I could take the yoke back the other direction.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, was a fun challenge to come up with unique and different ways of training the clean and press.
I'll tell you one thing, man. I'm like squirming. It's got me all fired out right now. I mean, this is what happens when we do these shows. Tell everybody out there, because, you know, I know you know because of what I've told you offline. Well, we've got a lot of younger people listening to us now, and I couldn't be happier. And I don't know, you know, if I'm not getting notes from them or something, I don't know what they're doing. But I know they're listening because I've been contacted. And for anybody that is interested in going overhead, because what you're talking about there, if you wanted to do that for a straight year, you talk about making a living. I mean, I'm talking you get somebody like you or I guiding a 13, 14, 15-year-old, 16, 17, because we know the football players, we get the basketball players, all that. Tell everybody, I mean, and I know you can make this real clear and concise, what you just described, even though you've been doing this stuff and you know damn well, like you said with Kazmaier, you got muscle where people can never even envision it. What, and I'm saying the same thing when I'm talking about doing these middies in the rack. It has created this internal fire in me that I'm not saying I never had, but it's such a renewed feeling. And when you go out there, it doesn't matter. Like, it was freezing on Sunday when I went out. I've got to go out tomorrow and train. I had a little heat on to keep it at 50 degrees in there, but it was nowhere comfortable, and I don't want it comfortable. But tell everybody out there, what the hell does that feel like to you? And the sense of accomplishment and putting something over your head, what does that feel? Can you describe that, Andrew?
It's the empowerment. Yep. I feel it's empower. And where – what – I truly enjoy, and enjoyment is, and I gotta, when we get into the terminology of enjoy.
Yeah.
Because when you enjoy, you and I, we enjoy the struggle.
Yep.
Of getting there. And this is where it's a challenge for in today's society where, you know, anything beyond a 6-week plan.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, even a few months. I mean, a new company comes into town. They want to build a building, but they want it done in less than 3 months. It's got to be perfect.
Yep.
And if it's delayed, you know, because time is money, and that's fine. But there's very little thought to we want short-term profit. We want to maximize our profits in the short term.
Yep.
And that's great and all, but when we look at the long game, where we want to be, okay, yeah, we want to be someplace in 3 months, but where do we want to be at the end of the year? Where do we right. want to be next year? Where's the next 5 years? Do I have a 10-year thought, let alone what's my overall vision for where I am as a being or where I am as a company?
Yep.
And what we talked about it offline before is what legacy do we want to leave behind
mm-hmm.
so that when we are physically gone, our presence is still here, though.
Exactly.
That's the ultimate legacy you want to leave behind. We were talking a little bit about Richard Soren and Soren X yep. exercise equipment. And
yep.
He, you know, was in a pretty nasty car wreck.
Yep.
And, you know, it was that see the light moment of, oh, dear God.
Right.
When you look at what he has done in his equipment company and the inspiration that he has put forth for a lot of strength enthusiasts, a lot of strength athletes, both high school, collegiate, professional, on all spectrums. And then the outstanding company that he has created as well, it's, you know, Richard Soren is started that, left it, and even 50 years from now, that it, he has set such a solid foundation that it will still be a part of strength culture for generations to come, which is great.
Yeah.
And when we look at strength at its inception, I mean, I remember back, and I can call the two brothers, Jim and Jeff Belsick, because they were there in their basement when I started my strength journey.
Yep.
And very few people, like, they're like, oh, you've always been strong. It's just so easy for you. I was like, no, listen. Mm-hmm. I remember bench pressing. You know, it's the All-American favorite. We go in their basement, got unracked the 45-pound bar, comes down, and nothing happens. They're like, push. And I'm like, I am. And pin under 45 pounds.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, yourself included, like, laugh at that and go, you got to be kidding. The Andrew Durney pinned under 45 pounds. Couldn't get it off his chest. Eighth grade.
Yep.
Nothing. I was like, yeah, I was all knees and elbows, you know, skinny, not strong.
Yep.
But it was, but that struggle on day one, right there, is, of being pinned under 45 pounds, and it was like, man, and my friends can do this. Yep. I never want to have that happen again.
Yep.
So that struggle of momentary failure set a foundation where it was like, all right, what do I need to do to be able to press that bar?
Yeah.
What do I need to do? What are the muscles I need to work? All right, I don't have weights. Okay, what can I that's where my vision of the world of what can I manipulate in this world to make me better? Yep. All right, I've got push-ups. If I can't do a push-up on the floor, elevate myself onto a step or a chair and do push-ups. I remember taking folding chairs and turning them around and using them as a dip station in my basement. And I did that all through junior high and high school.
Yep.
Because that's what I had at my disposal is folding chairs in my mom's basement.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I knew the moment that started, it was getting pinned under 45 pounds. But I knew I didn't want that to ever happen. And I saw these guys, and they were my best friends, and they were a year or two older than me. And I wanted, and all I wanted to do was to catch up to them.
Yeah.
And well, I caught up, and then I kept going.
Yeah.
Because it was, I had that taste of success. But then I realized, which we all do in strength training and weightlifting, is there's always something heavier.
Oh, yeah.
There's always a bigger number.
Yep.
There's always something else out there that's staring you down that says, how about me?
Yep. Hey, and, go ahead.
And when you cultivate that mindset that says, well, if I built myself to here from nothing, what else can I do? You know, as my slogan goes, limits are for the other people.
Yeah.
A lot of people like to confine themselves and put themselves in a box.
Yep.
And say, this is where I am, and I'm happy, and I'm comfortable in this box.
Yep.
I can be a big fish in a little swimming pool, and it feels cozy because I'm the big fish. I'm the big dog, and it's great. But if I go across town, man, that's the unknown.
Yeah.
And the unknown is going to be scary. Yep. And so I need to, but if you embrace that scariness and go, hey, you know what? Yeah, I can fail, but I failed before.
Yep.
And if I failed before and I found a way to overcome that failure, now I'm a success. And that is that empowerment that I feel that we get from strength training. That is the motivation. That is it's the physical strength, but it's the emotional strength that says, it's okay to fail.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because of my failure, I have learned so much more.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's, you know, I forget who gave the quote, but I think it's great. And it's I never lose. I either win or I learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel we learn so much more from those missteps and that, oh, I didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, so what can I take from that? And it's anytime I play, you know, the coaching and the playing that I've done, any event or challenge that I undertake, whether it was successful or not, I look back and I go, you know, I could win the national championship, be the best. You know, I've won plenty of strength competitions. Regardless, it's win, you celebrate, high five, that's great. Okay, on the drive home, what could I have done better?
Exactly.
Where did I create a misstep?
Yep.
And it's, you know, that was something that was taught back to me. The coach back playing youth hockey.
Yeah.
And it was, and one of the things he always told us was, if you're on the ice when a goal is scored, there is something you could have done to prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one person's fault. If you're on the ice, a goal was scored, what could you have done better?
Yep.
Prevent. It's not the immediate cause of that goal. There might have been a turnover, you know, four or five passes ago. You might not have done something could have happened differently that you could have prevented the goal from being scored. And you need to have reflection on that and learn from that so that it doesn't happen again. And that is something that I think we need to always instill into everything. You can take that to the weight room with every set and rep that you perform and go, okay, how could that have been better?
Yep.
What could I have done differently to make that set and exercise better or more efficient? It doesn't always mean add more weight. It doesn't always mean add more repetitions. But everything could be better.
Yep.
Even without putting the traditional metrics of more weight or more reps on the bar, on the weight, however you want to qualify it.
Well, you know, a lot of it too is when you're talking about that, it's like mental approaches to things. You know, what's going on in your head before you walk in? What's going on during your head and what's happening to you when you get done? And we see this with a lot of people. They're taking day's events in with them to the weight room, and it affects you. And it's not going to affect you in a positive manner. That's why I say to a lot of people, I've said through the show, you know, come up from your cell phone there. You know, by that I mean bring your head up, put the damn thing down, go out and listen to something, get right in the heat of the moment, and get on it. And these are the things I feel that really need to be lessened and broken. I've gotten into this by myself and with other various people, whether it's outside of the show or on the show, where I think it's really a good move. I don't care what age you are, to drop media at least once a week, meaning get away from it for the whole day. There isn't going to be anything unless it's an emergency that's going to really need you to be on a computer or a phone. You can have your phone with you and have it on, fine. But I'm talking about withdrawing yourself mentally from all of the action going on. Because here's what I see right now more than anything, especially we'll just talk about the United States, and I'm not going to get in any political realms, but you see what's going on with these various people, news organizations, and the women, and all this stuff, and everything else. Everything, you know, I got to say, I love Christmas, all right? I celebrate Christmas. My family does. To me, it's the time of the year when you have definite renewal within yourself. You're looking at 2018. Where do you want to go, whether it's your business, your training, your relationship, et cetera, et cetera. And you just put a smile on your face and enjoy it. Well, you know, I love playing Christmas music. It's really the only time I even have a radio on. I mean, everything's a struggle with it. I mean, you know, I'm not happy. I'm not doing this. I can't find this. And to me, it takes the air right out of me. Because I don't want to listen to that stuff. I don't want to hear it. I know it's a rough time for a lot of people. We lost my dad. My father died on December 15th. That was last Friday. It's not easy around here this time of year, especially for my mother. But you know what? We enjoy it, and you can't live in the past. I mean, you've got to keep moving forward, okay? And that's the way it is. But when we talk about, like, with Andrew embarking on overhead like that, we talk about what we're doing here with the mid-rack training and designing things. Don't you understand, everybody, what this does to you? It sets a good fire off one after the other. I'm training better. Now I'm sleeping better. I'm getting along better with everybody. Something I wanted, suddenly it comes out of nowhere. Somebody I wanted to meet, it comes out of nowhere. You know why it's coming out of nowhere? Because it's what you're thinking about most that you're attracting, okay? You want to go overhead and get bigger? You're going to go overhead and get bigger. Are you going to have setbacks along the way? Damn straight you are. There's no way, there's nothing we do that we don't get a setback with, all right? But the whole idea is you're going to find out, what I found out more than anything now is I just seem to be getting more and more primal with everything. I don't enjoy a lot of the things that I used to like to do. Not saying they're good, bad, or ugly, but I'm evolving mentally in a way I never have before. And I'm starting to learn things that I never have before. As you become more proficient with the things you want to learn, they bleed into everything. You know, I was telling Andrew before we came on two things. We're going to burn big currency in 2018, believe me. There's no doubt in my mind. If I had the currency I needed, and I wouldn't do it right now because I'd get the whole family upset, I would leave tomorrow morning on Icelandic Air and go train 3 months in Iceland and then go after every stone on the 2008 trip, without a doubt. I would love to get on there. And I'll tell you another thing. I've said this on other shows. I wouldn't mind going to Iceland, British Columbia, the middle of nowhere in Wyoming. I don't care. I want a nice little small log cabin, close enough still to get to the city and still talk to people. I don't want to shut myself off from everybody, but I would love to go there. And if you remember Rocky IV with the barn with the dirt floor, give me my anvils, let me heat iron and just beat the snot out of it all day. Give me my weights, give me my stones, and let me read and think and listen and see what I can come up with in 1 year. All right? These are the fundamentals. These are important things. And when you're going after these big things, whether it's overhead or in the rack, or you want to go lift bigger stones, or you want to do Ironman competitions, the bottom line is, as I said in the video I did about a week and a half ago, I called it the strength resolve. And I had tentacles going to everything, whether, you know, it was your will, whether your setup, your finish line, whatever it was. I had four tentacles going into it. The strength resolve is your inners, as I get into more and more here with everything. When you build your inside out, in my opinion, and I know I'd get arguments probably from people, there's not much you can't do. But as Andrew said at one point in the show, it's just not going to happen like they sell you the 90-day programs, or you go in these gyms with quote-unquote, I'm a great lifter, or I was good at one thing and that's all I'll show, and think you're going to get to that level. I would never, ever dissuade anybody from training or getting better. But if you're going to pay me, I'm going to give you the truth. And the truth is, if you can do what Andrew and I have done in different variations in 90 days, I don't know. I guess I didn't find out or do the things I needed to do because you're the exception to the rule. And I will tell you this, I'll give it right back to Andrew, is this. Going through this stuff will do more for you than, you know, we've all gone to college and all that. I'll tell you right now, you can learn more by listening and doing than you will paying some big Ivy League school where all they basically do now, if you go out and pay attention, is talk political stuff. Let me tell you something. A lot of these people that are instructing you, I don't care what level they are, they're starving, okay? And that's all they do. I'm telling you right now, you go over to Andrews or you come back here where the other day when I trained, it was like 19 degrees out. And I did have a heater on. It was set at 50 just to keep the edge off, but it wasn't warm by any means. That will do more for you than anything you're going to get taught, because self-teaching and doing and applying I believe, is the essence of not only success but of life. Take it away, brother.
Yeah, you touched on a good point, and one of the things that I feel is so accurate and powerful is that discipline. And you talked about how you want to go and sometimes you do have to shut the mainstream popular world out to achieve something that you personally view as more important and more powerful ultimately. And that's where with lifting, it's very much delayed gratification.
Yeah.
Because you have this vision of getting someplace that is more important than, sometimes like, oh, hey, yeah, I need to go out and I need to grab beer after work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, that I got that beer waiting for me after I get done training, and I need to get my training in first before I get that simple gratification. And we talked about it, back in college playing.
Yep.
I guarantee the party after winning the national championship is going to be way better than any party you could ever throw during the year.
Yep.
And it's the same thing. I've stood on the main stage at the Arnold Classic lifting against some of the strongest human beings walking the earth.
Yep.
It's funny walking around and the Game of Thrones is like the greatest TV show right now everywhere.
Right.
Everybody's talking about it, and they talk about the mountain. And I just kind of laugh. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you mean Thor?
Yeah.
And they're like, you mean? I'm like, yeah, Hathor Bjornsson, I know.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know him? I'm like, yeah, I've met the guy like numerous times. He's a good dude.
Yep.
And they're like, I'm like, yeah, you guys sit around on the weekends and you watch the mountain. I know the mountain. That didn't come just because I was in the right place at the right time. It was like years of training for myself, then years of training, our paths crossed.
Yep.
And we've stood on the same stage together on the biggest stage in all of strength.
Yeah.
In front of 80,000 people lifting. And yeah, it was a hell of a party that, Saturday night afterwards when it's all said and done, and people are like, man, I want to be there. And I'm like, okay, but are you willing to sacrifice 5 years to potentially be there? Not even a guarantee.
Right.
What you're going to sacrifice 5 years, which is a small amount of time, for the potential to be somewhere.
Yep.
And people are like, oh, yeah, I'm all for it. Well, and 6 weeks later, I don't see him ever again.
Exactly.
I'm going, and you said 5 years, and you couldn't make 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I look at, we write up programs for people, and, we got 12 to 16-week programs. And, it's 3-4 months to get through one cycle of a program. And I'm going, all right, in that amount of time, if you gain any kind of strength, you're doing well.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you're going to gain world-class strength in that amount of time. You're going to gain strength.
Yep.
And world-class strength comes from taking that program and then build that strength, reset your maxes, and repeat it again. And then repeat it again, and repeat it again, and repeat it again. And if you can come back in 5 years after doing that 4-month program over and over and over, and you're telling me at the end of that you're not stronger, I'd be at a loss. But I've yet to have somebody, go through it twice and be disappointed. Usually at the end of one time, they're like, holy smokes, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks so simple on paper. I'm like, yeah, it looks simple, but the math is there. I can work you through the understanding of the scientific principles and why we're doing these things, and let the math create the strength for you from being consistent and being persistent with your training, that it'll take you places you never thought you could get to, and go from there. But it's going to take time, and it's going to take consistency, and it's going to take dedication to get there, and you may have to delay your satisfaction for another time.
I agree.
It'll be amazing what happens when you get there.
You and I both know, and I'll get right. I didn't mean to cut you off. You and I both know once you get into this, and we're not talking weeks, years, we're talking decades. The fire and the excitement is just unbelievable. And as I've said with you and other people, talk about, I mean, I don't even call this a sport. I mean, we call it physical culture, but it's even more than that. I'm going to come up with a name for it. I mean it. Go ahead. It is. Yep.
And it's the way, you know, it's, you know, I've got the quote up on one of my boards in the gym. It's, you know, the ordinary person views everything as a curse or a blessing.
Yeah.
The warrior views everything as a challenge.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, are you going to be ordinary or are you going to be a warrior?
Yep.
You know, the ordinary person, it's such a blessing. I was blessed. That's great. You know what? I'm going to get off my ass and I'm going to work for it.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I'm going to go there and I'm going to say, oh, you know, it was just, call what you want. That's fine. But you know what? How about, you know, there's a wall in front of me. That's to stop everyone else.
Yeah.
That wall stops everybody else. I look at that wall and I go, how do I get over it? How do I go through it?
Yep.
What do I do? You know, it's, you know, I've been doing a lot more endurance work and it's like I'm running. You know, I rolled an ankle trail running and was like, ah, crap. Well, one, I could just keep beating a dead horse and keep running on it on a rolled up ankle, or I could find ways to continue to train
yep.
around it, allow it to heal,
yep.
and ultimately come back stronger than I was before. But that takes some patience, and I have to stay away sometimes from that thing that I was getting fairly decent at, which was trail running, you know, and go, okay, I gotta delay my desire to continue to train the way I want. I have to adjust my training,
mm-hmm.
train the way I need. It's the difference between what I want and what I need.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I got to train the way I need to eventually get back to where I want to be.
Yep.
And if you're going to have many times in training where you're going to, if you're pulling heavy weight, you're deadlifting, yeah, you're going to probably tweak it back.
Yep.
Or if you're doing a lot of overhead, your trap's going to tweak and you're going to throw your neck out and you're going to be stiff-necked and you can only look left or right for a few days.
Yep.
So what do you do? Do you keep doing the overhead press? No, you adjust.
Exactly.
And you go, okay, what do I need to do? I need to correct the imbalance
yep.
to the injury, but what can I do? You know, a lot of people, they come in the gym, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm like, stop telling me what you can't do. Tell me what you can.
Absolutely.
That's all I want to know.
Yep.
I don't care what you can't do. Let's find out what you can,
yep.
and let's start from there, and let's move forward. Because yep. there's no point in sitting here crying over spilled milk, I can't do this. It doesn't matter.
No.
We're here to work, and work means move forward.
Yep.
So that's we want to concern ourselves with the can, not the cannot.
Without a doubt. And I'll tell you, as one of the great inspirational speakers, Jim Rohn, used to say, success is something you attract by the person you become. That's the only way you're going to do it. You're going to have to work around any limitation you see at the time. Maybe you got to tweak, like Andrew said, same thing with his – If you're going to beat the snot out of yourself consistently when you're hurt, we all know what ends up happening. You get knocked out of it for a long time or you end up having to get surgery. Nobody wants to do that. Why do you want to shove that discipline on the shelf for maybe 6 months? It's no good. And the thing is, and I want to get into this right now. We're going to talk a little about winter training and stuff. Just because it's winter out, doesn't mean you can't still press stuff all over your head. Doesn't mean you can't walk with large objects. Doesn't mean you can't do a lot of the stuff you do when the weather's a lot nicer out. Now, as everyone knows, you know, I don't care. If it's a snowstorm and I've got to walk the stone, I'll go as far as I can with it and come back with it. You know, and it might be lightened up 100 or more pounds. But it doesn't matter because, see, the thing is, I'm out there doing it. I'm not letting the conditions, unless they're so dangerous, you know, I'm not going to go out if they're dangerous, but other than ice, I don't usually stop, and even with the ice, I put cleats on my shoes and walk. Now, does that mean I've got to walk slower and lighter? Yeah, Does that mean when the snow's up to almost my kneecaps and it's coming down like crazy, does that mean I got to walk lighter? And if I got to dump it, at least I can dump it forward, not get hurt. Yeah. But the point of the matter with it is this. Not only does it feel great to get out there, and obviously you got to dress for it. I mean, that's common sense, but you adapt. And I got to tell you, there's nothing like here on a really snowy day slash night when my whole backyard is lit up like daylight, and there you are, either someone's over here or I'm alone, and I'm traipsing as far as I can with that stone, and I'm dropping it, or my shirt is freezing to the side of it because it's wet, and I'm having the time of my life. Now, I know most people think that's insane. They'll be like, oh, you're nuts. No, I'm not nuts. I just want a little more for myself. And I enjoy that little more for myself because you know what? Then when Andrew and I are on here, I'm on with anybody, I can tell about these things I'm doing. And maybe somebody that's on the fence or saying, well, I'm not really sure. What would I do on a night with a lot of snow and I want to carry some stones? I mean, would I carry a lighter stone? How would I dress for it? What do I need liquid-wise when I'm out there? When I'm starting to feel a little too cold, I go inside because I got to assume if you're outside, you got a garage. Hopefully, you got a heater running and you can get a little bit thawed out. Never take a chance of getting that's not what I'm promoting here. What I'm promoting here is this. Stretch yourself. Go a little bit more distance. All right, maybe you're used to doing 5 rounds of carries. And maybe you can only do a third of your driveway because of the snow, okay? Do 5 rounds for the short distance. Do 3 rounds. It doesn't matter. Go in, maybe you do some calf work, neck work, whatever. Maybe you got to minimize your routine. But what I'm saying is when you do things like that, you can get more out of that than running your ass right into the ground to prove a point. And that's when Andrew's talking about injuries or turning ankles or whatever. See, that to me is what successful training is all about. Knowing, and I'm not going to call anything a limitation because I don't like saying that word, but if you're off a little bit that night, maybe you're a little banged up, maybe you're just not feeling it in the head like you normally would, go out and enjoy your workout. Maybe you just throw the whole thing you're going to do out that night, maybe get under the bar, do some light squats, get over the bar, do some pulls. Or maybe you just do, you know, maybe you do some stuff where, you know, auxiliary stuff, as they call it. You go in there, do some heavy calf work, depending on what type of neck work you do. You know, I got the first generation Nautilus four-way. I've got, obviously, neck straps, and I can do stuff with plates off a bench. Work your neck like crazy. Work your hands like crazy. Work your forearms like crazy. And if that's enough, put it away and wrap it up for the night. I'm telling you right now, doing things like that can inspire you the next time you come in where you'll just be a monster. So it's not as hard as it is, but with the cold weather, I love it. It's very invigorating to my soul. I am definitely a cold weather animal. I'm not saying I don't like heat, but if you gave me a choice to go to an environment where it was fairly cool all the time and then snowy and cold, that's where I'd go probably for the rest of my life. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, no, you touched on a lot of great points that I love the inclement weather.
Yep.
And what I love about inclement weather is it forces you to adapt on the fly and overcome because it's not perfect.
Nope.
You know, I get on a lot of people, it's like, all right, yeah, it's rainy, it's cold, it's crappy. Man, I get excited for that now.
Yeah.
You know, because I train for performance. I train to go do. I don't train to stand here and look pretty.
Right.
You know, I want everything's performance oriented. And by being performance oriented, that means I'm going to go and compete somewhere at some point in time. Yourself included. You're going to go lift stones in Iceland. Well, guess what? Those stones are outdoors and there's no heater anywhere nearby.
Nope. Nope.
So what you need to do is if it's 20 degrees out, you're out there carrying stones. Because you know what? When you get to Iceland, if it's 20 degrees, you're carrying that Husfell stone.
Yep.
Because you don't know when the next time is you're going to be back there to have an attempt at that Husfell stone. So if it's 80 degrees or if it's 20 degrees, you're carrying it. And so when we're sitting at home and the weather changes, we look at that as an opportunity.
Yep.
Go out there and challenge ourselves and to embrace those different conditions. Because you know who else is not out there? A lot of other people.
You betcha.
They're going, no, it's not great. I mean, I can't tell you how many times. I mean, it happens, and all my members here are probably going to laugh right now when they're listening to this because they know where I'm going. I got a lot of guys that are like, oh, I need this bar to do this lift.
Yeah.
You know, fuck you, all right? It's a damn bar.
Yep.
Lift it. Stop worrying about having the perfect conditions all the time with your music, your bar, the right plates that all face the same way. Put weight on the bar and lift it.
Yep.
It's strength training, not how pretty can I make my Instagram feed look. But that's what a lot of people end up worrying about.
You're right.
It's got to be perfect. This bar sits better. Well, great, it does. But you know what? It's strength training. And I get on the strongman competitors a lot as well. It's strongman, not implement man.
Yep.
So get stronger. Yeah, if you don't have the greatest training in conditions right now today, guess what? That's a good thing. It made you better.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had to overcome some adversity to get better. Because what happens at a meet when it's not exactly the way you like it? Guess what? It's no big deal, and you win anyways.
Yeah.
That's what we're training here. We're training to win.
Yep.
To perform better than anybody else. So, yeah, if your bar is not available, guess what? Grab a bar and do the lifts.
Hey, you'll love this. My brother-in-law, before they had the five kids, I mean, he used to get over here a lot more, right? But the old saying here was, because there were many a nights we trained out in the driveway carrying the stone with a snowstorm, on us, and we used to always laugh about it, but it rings so true, Andrew. It was like, while everybody else is staying inside getting warm, guess where we are? We're the guys that are out there that everybody says, you guys, you know, are this, that. You can think whatever you want, but you said it right on the money. Wherever I go, Iceland, whatever, and obviously, you know, I hear from, well, when are you going to go? Well, there's a lot of things going on. Believe me, if I could hop on a plane, I'd go, all right? Let me tell you something. I'll just tell you from experience going there and doing, like, Latra and everywhere else. There is very little warm-up. You know, you're not going to be able to walk up to a bar or a rope. There's some stones you can lift, but really it doesn't matter. You've either lifted it or you didn't long before you hit the soil. And the thing is, there aren't any conditions that are going to be perfect no matter what you do. And the idea that I've got to have this bar or I've got to have this set of plates or I've got to stand on this thing, this is ludicrous, because you know what that does to you? That basically, to me, it takes you and nails your feet right to the ground, because you're only thinking on those lines. If it's not perfect, if it's muddy, if it's wet, and I will tell you, the Husafell stone, for anybody that wants to go and lift it, and I get letters and notes all the time where we talk about it, it's talc smooth. It can be wet most of the time. And there is nothing where you're walking around the sheep pen where it's level. In fact, when I was there in 11, the last time I was there, I don't know if it was always like that. I didn't notice it the first time. Some of the stones looked like they were kind of peeking out from the bottom a little bit, meaning they were sticking out. If you hit one of those when you're walking with a 418-pound stone, you might not survive something like that. You get hurt pretty bad. So what I'm saying is, all these things we're talking about with the cold weather and the advantages you're creating for yourself, and like Andrew's saying, get a damn bar and lift. It's correct. Because when you go to these places, whether they are out in the middle of nowhere or you're going to a big meet somewhere, it's not going to be opportune. And you know what? Let's face it, competition, these guys and girls want to get in your head. Maybe some of them even knew before you're going to get there that they know your disposition. They know how you react, all right? And I guarantee you, some of these meets are not probably even going to have equipment close to what you're working with Andrew. Not unless they've got sponsors that are just gigantic, all right? Whether it's Sorenex or Iron Mind or one of them. You might not be using state-of-the-art stuff. So the idea here is use the things that are awkward or maybe they don't revolve at all or whatever. Get acquainted with them. Get comfortable with them. Get your head comfortable with them. And I guarantee you, no matter where you go, I can't guarantee you a win, but I can guarantee you're going to make noise and people are going to take notice to you. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I mean, it's the idea of training is to, you know, add stimulus to your body.
Yep.
So that it adapts over time.
Yep.
And so what I look at that as that's like I look at that as an advantage.
Yeah.
To use imperfect items in
yep.
training.
Yep.
Man, this isn't exactly the way I want it. Perfect. You know, it's a little different. Challenge yourself and look at adversity like that, if you want to call it adversity. I mean, the first world problems that we're dealing with, I don't have the right bar in my hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, so even to use the term adversity is kind of foolish, but use those subtle imperfections.
Yep.
And embrace it and look at it as if it's a positive and go, oh, you know, I didn't get my pre-workout in at the right time.
Yeah.
You're putting the cart before the horse.
Yep.
You're working out, aren't you? You're lifting, right? Yeah, all right. You got a hot meal later? Perfect. You're good.
Yep.
Forget about it. Let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
No, because that way when it does all come together,
yep.
oh, man, some special things can happen. But if you only train in the special because you've got everything lined up perfectly, man, if it's not that way, oh, my day was off because I didn't have my breakfast was wrong. This is
Yep.
You travel the world. Guess what? Your breakfast is going to be off when you lift.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. You know, you could be the toughest guy sitting at home in the USA, but let me drop you off in the middle of a foreign country where you don't speak the language, you're out of money.
Yep.
You don't know what the hell's going on.
Yep.
Guess what? Anything they put in front of your face is looking pretty good. You're going to eat it, and then you're going to show up to the gym or out in the field. And you're gonna take care of business.
Yeah.
And if you do, you're legendary.
Absolutely.
If you don't, nobody knows who you are. And that's just the welcome to life. I mean,
yeah.
But I think we've made life almost too easy on ourselves and too perfect all the time.
Yep.
That we've lost our ability to adapt and adjust on the fly.
Yeah.
And that is the ultimate expression of competition. Is the individual that can adjust on the fly quickest is going to win the day.
You know, I think, and I know we're getting near time, I think sometimes, too, you almost go into things like, I don't want to say with like an innocence, but almost like you know what it is, but you're not like, I don't know the word I want to use. It's like, It's almost like you're ignorant to it. And I don't mean it in a disrespectful way. What I mean is, you know all the things that are going around, but it's almost like it's out of your head. You know, I can't think of how I want to word it. But then you go into it, and they're like, where the hell did this person come from? You just didn't let it claim your mind and your soul and everything, okay? You went in there almost with like this blind...
You're stoic. You go in with such a calm demeanor that it's just like people are just like, yeah, that dude's just rock solid. He doesn't let anything, you know, and, you know, the ultimate, in, to age myself a little bit, you know, I remember watching, you know, tennis, Pete Sampras.
Oh, yeah.
The 90s. That dude was emotionless.
Yep.
Zero emotion, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent.
Yep.
And it used to drive people nuts.
Yeah.
And you know what he did, though? He beat the crap out of everybody.
You bet your ass.
They were like, dude, this guy doesn't care.
Yep. Yep.
And it would drive them nuts because you'd see the emotion on everybody. Everybody was all emotional. And he'd just kind of calmly go about his business.
Yeah.
But his business was good, and it was kicking everybody's butt.
No, you're right. And you know what the thing is, too? there's too much emotion now, and I think a lot of it is fake to begin with. If you watch any major sports, that's why I'm not a big lover of all that stuff. But I'm going to leave with this. I'm going to give it to Andrew, and he can give out all his info, and I just hang on because I'll give mine. Is this, get out there in the cold. Get out there and do something that's really going to test your mettle. That when you go on, you know, my chiropractor, John Ridge, God rest his soul, he used to call me silent strength. Go out there with that, those two words. Become silent strength. Let your deeds do it instead of your mouth. All right? I'm telling you right now, you could start doing things like that around people and you could set a new precedent right now because, as I said, I think a lot of this emotion is phony. I'm not saying everybody is, but I agree with you. Like a guy like Pete Sampras, he went in, did his job. And that pisses people off because then they don't feel like they can put a thumb on somebody. Don't let anybody put a thumb on you. Get out there tonight because this show should be up tonight when you hear it. Get out there tonight. Get out there tomorrow. Go out and do something. Go out and carry something. Go out and press something. Go in your garage or wherever you are where it's not warm. Go out and squat something, man. Do something that is just going to make you feel like, you know what? I made a difference, and this is going to keep carrying me on until I decide where I'm going. Even if it's just to be the biggest guy on the block, who cares? Because the kids are looking up to you. That's what matters. Andrew, summarize anything. Give out all your info. I'll give mine and hang on the line, please.
Yep, absolutely. No, I mean, you hit it right on the head, and I just kind of was chuckling myself because one of the things when I was coaching the high school kids, because they were all worried about having the latest, greatest, shiniest gear and looking good. And I was like, listen, guys, give me a burlap sack.
Yep.
I'll make it look amazing. Nobody's going to worry about the clothes I wore. There's like, dude, the guy's a champion.
Yep, absolutely.
It's a freaking burlap sack.
Yep.
And you know what? That burlap sack would sell like hotcakes the day after you win a title. So
you betcha.
Stop worrying about what it looks like and just get the job done because that's where it comes from. If you like what you heard, you know, look me up, durniatstrength.com, durniatstrength.com. All my contact info is on there. You can email me. You can call me. If you're ever in the Worcester, Ohio, the Northeast Ohio area, definitely stop by the gym. We're training all the time. Can show you all the fun toys, do some training, and take you to another level. So hope you enjoy the show. This was a great one, a lot of info, and we'll be doing it again soon.
Yes, sir. And I'll say one thing because you made me laugh with the burlap. I put it up the other day, but you know me, how much I like Rocky. And it was hilarious in Rocky II where he had to build demon speed and protect that bad eye, you know? And there's Mick having him out in, you know, the worst-looking warehouse. I mean, the place is crumbling everywhere with a fence around it. And he's going to learn how to chicken chase. And he says, you can catch this chicken, you can catch Grease Lightning, right? And he says to him like this, he goes, I'm not a farmer, I'm a fighter. And he's like, yeah, and they're going back and forth, and he says, and why do you got to wear that stinking sweatshirt? And it's got a hole, and he's got, like, his hand in there. He goes, it brings me luck, and Mick's like, it brings flies, you know? And obviously, you see Rocky, he finally catches the chicken, and you know, Mick's got a feather in the side of his head there, and you know, Mick's yelling, now we got demon speed. And You watch something like that and you think it's nothing, but I'm telling you right that I defy anybody to watch a clip like that and not want to jump off their chair and go do something. Because as I said before, when I'd watch Rocky movies, and I've probably watched each one 100 times, even number 5, which was the worst out of the whole pile, I have to go out and do something. I can't go to bed. Yeah. All right. I can't. Yeah. So I just want to leave everybody with that. Demon Speed Chicken Chase, and go out and look at that. It's dynamite. It's all over YouTube. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. As I said, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Look at our one product. It's called Winners and Champions, Inc. Also, contribute to the show. Anything you'd like to put forward, we would appreciate. That's all out there. Click that. It will instruct you where to go, what you'll get when you contribute to the company. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Just go out and look at all the shows Andrew and I have done, and this will be up either tonight or first thing in the morning, but I'm going to try to get it up tonight. I've got a lot of calls to make after this. Don't forget about the Sand Dune Matt Dahl, 714-995-4500. If you buy one now and mention motivation, you will get 10% off and free shipping in the USA, and that is incredible. I'm working with a couple Parkinson's patients right now over here that this thing is designed not only for Parkinson's, but for any athlete around, and it's amazing. And we'll get more into that down the road. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. AHA Directory, that is... that's where you can get M&M in your car 24/7. Also, if there's a show you'd like Andrew and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at nicap.r.com. If someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, 5 words of inspiration can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, and she still says it, you know, never be afraid to give a smile or a hello to somebody. That might be all they get that day. And we know as Christmas and everything approaches quickly, there's a lot of lonely people. And I was listening this morning, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of high suicide rate. Please don't do that. Don't. There's a lot out there for you. I hope the shows help you out. You know, you can contact Andrew and I. I'm not going to speak for Andrew, but I know he'd help you out too. That's what we want to do. It's very important. Also, too, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, if you're squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And the great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red Domination, we clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furs, who was on here last week, said from the very beginning, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Well, that's a big thing here, and we want to increase that even more. We want to help men and young men coming up. We will do that, and we are doing it. It's very important, folks. We really need to do that. Frank Klein, my greatest business professor in college. Andrew hit it before. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, the greatest chiropractor ever. He would walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. Also, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends, we're coming, because we're not going to kick your door in. We will blow the roof off your house. Join the family. Join the revolution. Be part of us for the next 30 years. I guarantee you we will help out one another. Also, too, Les Brown, you all have greatness. We take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back, and I don't know many people that would say that. And as I say on every show, some books, Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do, Robert H. Schuller, Lombardi, What It Takes to Be Number One, Vince Lombardi Jr., one of my mentors for the Power Rack, Anthony DiTillo, The Development of Muscular Bulk and Power, and obviously John McKean, who you can read all about. He's all-around lifter, but he was also very prevalent in the hard gainer in its heyday. And don't forget The Ultimate Man Survival Guide by Frank Minter. Very, very important. Obviously, you can catch us out on the YouTube channel now. We're all over the place, and we're going to get bigger and bigger down the road. Andrew, it's always an honor to have you on. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and I look forward to 2018 with you, because I think we're going to have a lot of surprises for everybody.
Awesome.
Well, for Andrew Derniat, this is Eric Fiorello. Now, don't forget, the show will be up. We got Jed Johnson on tomorrow. Will Dinwiddie, Roger LaPointe, we've got Steve Cotter, Kenny Nowicki, we got Martin Janzik's coming up, and we've got Tony Farragia, who everybody loves. It's good as hell. It's only going to get better. So, for Andrew Derniat, this is Eric Fiorello. Go out and do something the world is asking you to do it. Stand up, and I guarantee you, you'll be happy as can be. You're all winners and champions, and I wish you all the greatest success. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.